Anti-war protests have become a weekly routine in Jordan as scenes of battles and devastation fill Arab TV broadcasts. Jordanian journalists even organized their own demonstration after coalition bombs damaged Iraq's information ministry, where reporters normally work in Baghdad. A Jordanian woman watching TV footage of wounded men, women and children staring at the camera from their hospital beds lashed out at Western media for focusing on the combat from a distance.
If the Americans see this, they will go against Bush now. If they saw all the victims and if they saw what's happening to their army and to the people, they will be against the war 100%, all of them, I'm sure.
El Rai newspaper editor George Hawatmeh says the emotional toll on Jordanians increases as the war drags on.
Jordan is so close, has been so close to Iraq traditionally and historically, that same families are living on either side of the border. We've had a union at one stage with the Iraqis. So there's a lot at stake, and we do not understand what the Americans are doing, and we have got to try and find some answers.
An anti-war song by Egyptian singer Shaban Abdurrahim talks of Western double standards. The song has become a hit in Amman and most other Arab capitals. Enough, enough, he sings. They want to disarm Iraq, that's okay, he chants. But why don't they disarm Israel, too? Political analyst David Kamhawi says the mounting anger and frustration reflected in the song and the street demonstrations are fueling a wave of anti-American sentiments.
We have to be frank about this. Up till this whole thing started, people always thought of Israel as being enemy number one. But now it's changing, and more people believe that America is enemy number one. And this is because of many developments, but basically because of the U.S. policy towards Iraq and the free hand given by the Bush administration to Sharon to do what he's doing inside the West Bank and Gaza.
And that presents diplomatic challenges for Jordan, which sees itself in a vulnerable position wedged between two flashpoints, Iraq and Israel. Even though many in the Arab world would like to see Saddam Hussein ousted from power, they say war is not the way to do it. The U.S. government says it will not stay in Iraq a day longer than necessary to restore stability after Saddam Hussein is removed from power. But many Jordanians view a U.S. presence in Iraq as a colonialist invasion of Arab land. The war has also refueled criticism of U.S. policies toward the Middle East peace process, which Arabs see as biased toward Israel. Jordan signed a peace treaty with Israel in 1994 and has been pushing for the revival of the so-called roadmap that outlines plans to establish a Palestinian state within 3 years. U.S. President George Bush has promised to revive the plans after the new Palestinian prime minister forms a cabinet that can deal with the issues. Foreign Minister Marwan Muasher is passionate about the need to revive the peace process now, before the credibility of that promise is lost.
Jordan has always reminded people that the Arab-Israeli front remains at the center of the radar screen of this region, and that without a solution to this long-standing issue, we cannot hope to achieve stability and prosperity in this region.
Prosperity and stability for Jordan also hinge on cordial ties with Iraq. Bilateral relations soured before the war in Iraq when Jordan allowed a few thousand American troops on its soil. The government says the soldiers are in the kingdom for defensive purposes only, mostly to set up and operate Patriot anti-missile systems. In the last Gulf War 12 years ago, Iraqi Scuds, presumably targeting Israeli cities, fell on Jordanian territory. Jordan expelled 5 Iraqi diplomats in March, the first Arab state to do so. The government cited security reasons, but later allowed 3 of the diplomats to stay. In recent days, Jordanian authorities arrested a handful of Iraqis suspected of trying to bomb an international hotel frequented by Westerners. They are also suspected of plotting to poison water tanks supplying the American forces stationed near Jordan's border with Iraq. The Jordanian government has tightened security around key installations and Western embassies amid fears of extremist attacks against Western interests. Jordan and Iraq have also been arguing over the disruption of trade and oil supplies for Jordan. Government officials acknowledge the war has taken a toll on Jordan's economy. Trade Minister Salaheddin al-Bashir says the war in Iraq already has disrupted cross-border commerce, which accounts for nearly one-fourth of Jordan's trade revenues. Last year, exports to Iraq totaled about $400 million. Economist Marwan Kardoush says the disruption puts a heavy strain on Jordan's budget, just as it did after the last Gulf War.
In 1990-91, the Iraqi economy was very much our bread and butter. I mean, Jordanian industry historically has been geared to serve the Iraqi market. Our trade, our exports and imports combined were extensively with Iraq.
Much-needed tourism revenues already had plummeted during recent years as the Israeli-Palestinian conflict deterred travelers from the region. The trucking and airline industries have also been hit hard by the sharp decrease in cross-border and regional traffic. Still, economists predict the economic impact will not be as bad as 12 years ago, when Jordan paid a heavy price for not joining the U.S.-led coalition that routed Iraqi forces from Kuwait. At that time, Jordan was left diplomatically and economically isolated. This time, Jordan has chosen to remain quietly on the sidelines. As a result, the government is receiving pledges of Western aid and new free trade agreements with the United States to help compensate for its losses. Washington has promised more than $1 billion of economic and military aid, which newspaper editor George Hawatme says is critical.
The Americans do support our budget and our economy with $450 million a year. They do provide military assistance. They take in about 20% of our exports. We do have great cultural relations. We do have an open sky policy with the United States. More is promised. The U.S. does have influence on countries that have lent money to Jordan. So anyway you look at it, we need the U.S. as a friend.
Still, Jordan's Trade Minister al-Bashir worries the war and uncertainty about its aftermath has made foreign investors more reluctant to do business in Jordan and the neighboring countries. Aid would help compensate for the losses.
We're seeing in the last 2 months some hesitance and some drop of U.S. buyers, mainly out of Jordan, probably for concerns that the goods won't arrive on time or that the regional instability would really impede the logistical support that this country is giving to goods exported primarily to the U.S. market.
Economist Marwan Kardoush, however, looks beyond the war and sees a brighter future.
Jordan, being the closest in terms of geographic proximity and having historical ties with the Iraqis, would probably, Jordanian businesses would have an opportunity to capture in Iraq, trying to rebuild what is ruined during the war or trying to do more extensive business ties with the Iraqis because these business ties were limited after 1991.
Mr. Kardoush predicts long-term benefits from a more stable Iraq next door, but he estimates short-term losses at more than $1.5 billion from decreased trade, tourism, and business ventures. And he expects the economy of Jordan and the region as a whole will stagnate as long as investors perceive the Middle East as a volatile and risky venture. For Dateline, this is Laurie Kassman in Amman.